We're going to start here on the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah is continuing to describe to us instances where there is Shvuat Eidut, and then the Mishnah describes instances where there is no Shvuat Eidut, or Shvuat Eidut does not apply. So Gemara says, Mashbi'ani Aleichem, I want you to take a Shvua, you know, I mean, this is Shvua Mipi Achirim, that to the effect, or the language that he uses is this, Im lo tavovi teiduni, if you don't come and testify on my behalf, Shiesh li, biyad ploni. Now, I have these items, all of these items this individual has, which are pikadon. I had left something with him as, you know, to watch or to be a security for me. Utsumet yad, right? Or, and I have a loan outstanding with him. Vigazel, he's also holding on to something that he stole from me. Ve'aveda, and also he found one of my avedot that he didn't return to me. So he asks them to take a shvua about all these items. They have testimony about all of these items. And he says, take a shvua that you don't know anything about all of these items. So where it says Shvua she'en anu yodim lecha idut, the Mishnah says that they respond eidim, that we don't know any idut. Ein chayavim el achat. In that instance, they're only chayav once. Even though we're talking about different manifestations of a monetary obligation, but their testimony, they're talking about a single testimony, because they say that we don't know any testimony. So they made one shvua about one testimony, and that's it. Shvua she'en anu yodim lecha she'esh lecha biyad ploni pikadon shumet yad gezel v'avida. If they go and enumerate in their shvua each of the items that he's asked them to testify about, then chayavin al achat v'achat. In that instance, they'll be chayav on each item individually, because basically they took a shvua saying that we don't know testimony about each of these items. And each of them is a separate chiyuv, separate obligation of mamon. Since it's a separate obligation of mamon, each one of them individually is then a chayav, a chiyuv for shvuat ha'edut. Now the next case was Mashbiani Alechem, Im lo tavovi teiduni, Shiesh li biyad ploni pikadon, chitin, useorim v'kusmin. I had left, I'd given over for safekeeping to this individual wheat, barley, and spelt to watch on my behalf. And they respond, Shua she'en adim lecha edut. We don't know anything about these items. Then ein chayvim l'achat. If they do know edut and they took that shua, then they only chayav once, because again, they only denied having edut, one testimony. Shua, but on the other hand, if they enumerate, Shua she'enanu yodim lecha edut, she'esh lecha biyad ploni, chitin, useorim v'kusmin. If in their shvua they enumerate each of the items, the wheat, the barley, and the spelt, and say, we don't know any edut about each of these items, then chayavin al ka'achat v'achat, you chayav on each one individually. So the Mishnah gave two examples. One example where it's the same monetary obligation, which is the second case, it was a pikadon, and there were different pikdonot. There were different items that he had given over. So there is one instance where we're taught that if they enumerate the items, they'll be chayav on each one individually, as well as if they say they want shvua, they'll only be chayav one. On the other hand, the Reisha spoke about different obligations of monetary obligations. They are not truthfully, the way Rashi says, it's all the same item. It's all a monetary obligation. It's all money. It's all one item. But the obligations are different. It was a loan. It was a pikadon. It was gezel. It was aveda. All these items, they're different obligations or different reasons that the individual owes him money, but it's all money that he owes him in that case. So here the Mishnah gives examples in both instances where, again, the edim will be chayav once when they only put it all together in one shvua, and they'll be chayav on each instance if they enumerate them in their shvua. Right now, the next case, which is Mashbiani Alechem, Im lo tavohu v'teiduni shesh li biyad ploni nezek v'chatzi nezek tashlume kefel v'tashlume arba v'chamisha. So all of these items, he says, please come and testify on my behalf that chavala, nezek is chavala, that he owes me money because of the damage that he caused me, chatzi nezek, which the Gemara will discuss, tashlume kefel, right, the paying double for one who was a ganaf that was nitpas, that was caught, and he had denied having taken the item, and then he's caught with the item, he has to pay double, tashlume arba chamisha, is that if he does mechira and tvicha on the shore of the sed that he took, so over there he's obligated to pay 4 or 5 times. Now the next case, Vishanas ish ploni et biti, so-and-so raped my daughter, upita et biti, or he seduced my daughter, and he owes money to me for that act. Vishikikani bini, my son hit me. Now here, the distinction, the next mission we say, v'chaval bibini. Hika bibini means my son hit me, but did not create a chabura. So there, in that instance, the son is not chayav mita in this case. And therefore, hikani bini, he's obligated to pay me money. Vishikaval bi chaveri, my friend wounded me, v'shedliket gdishi b'yom ha'kippurim, or he lit my field on fire, or my piles on fire on Yom HaKippurim, harelu chayavim. In all these instances, you're chayav. The Gemara will ask in this last series in the Mishnah, what's the chiddush? What's the Mishnah teaching us in this series? So we'll get to that in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Ibailuhu, Mashbia Eidei Knas Mahu. So that's part of what's the Chiddush in the second Mishnah is Eidei Knas. You have Eidim here that come and testify, such an individual is Chayav a Knas. A Knas is a fine, but the definition of Knas, Rashi mentions it here, mentions it in, we've seen in other places, in Baba Kamo, in other instances, that a Knas is anywhere where the obligation to pay has no correlation with the loss that is caused. Means that you pay a constant amount of money, no matter if the loss is greater or less than, or if the value is greater or less than. So that's what a knas is. Knas will be a fixed amount of money that you pay in every instance. So over here, if he has a dim that are testifying on his behalf for knas. Well, I'll give you examples of knas. Knas is like kefel, paying double for a ganav. The ganav is chayav for the keren, for the item that he stole. When we make him pay double, that's a knas. That's a fine imposed by the Torah that he pays twice as much. Right? That's the fine. That is a knas. Other instances of knas are over here by BT. If it's a person's anas at BT, he's chayav to pay for the, he has to pay the kesef bitulim. He has to pay that. That's a fixed amount that's paid by any person, no matter what the, again, no matter what the stature of the woman is or the stature of the person who committed the crime is. In that instance, there's always a fixed amount that's paid. So all of those are knasot. Question is, if you have edim who can come and testify by knas, right, what's the din? Now, why is there a question by knas? Because by knas, we also have another principle which we've seen before, which is amodeh b'knas patur. Someone who admits that they are chayav knas, someone who admits that they're obligated to pay a knas, is patur from paying the knas. So now over here, we have a case where they can somehow get, the Baal Din can get out of being chayav. He'll just go ahead and admit to the fact that he owes the money, and therefore it's questionable whether the edim really determine the case. I mean, even if the Eidim testify, it does not mean that there will be an obligation over here. Now, that is subject to machlokas, which we've seen before. But a machlokas, when someone is mode b'knas, someone admits to owing a fine, and then Eidim come and testify. When the Eidim come afterwards, does it make a difference or not? According to the Chachamim, it makes no difference. Eidim come afterwards, if the Baal Din, if the defendant says mode b'knas, he's patur, even if Eidim show up afterwards. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon argues on them and says, no, if Eidim come afterwards, he's chayav. Mode b'knas is only patur when there are no Eidim. That's the only instance where you are patur. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. The Gemara wants to know, when it comes to Eidei Knas, how valuable are they? Well, it really will depend on who you hold like. Do you hold like the Chachamim or Elazar Rabbi Shimon? So that's what the Gemara says. Yibailu, mashbi Eidei Knas ma'u. Aliba de Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon lo tibailach. There'll be no question, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that mar yavo Eidim ve'idu. As long as Eidim testify, he's chayav. Even if he admits to the Knas, that tour will not stand if there are Eidim. So in this case, it's clear that he believes that you have a monetary, there's a monetary loss by them not coming and testifying, and therefore they're going to be chayav for shvat eidut. Kiti bailach, our question revolves about in the position alibi de rabbanon. According to Rabbanan, who say modeh b'knas is patur, damrei, modeh b'knas is patur, v'achar kach b'edim patur. Even if you're modeh b'knas and edim come afterwards, you're still patur. So in that case, that instance, that's when we will have a question. Why? Because the Gemara says, V'rabbanon dahatam, the Rabbanon over there, who do they hold like Aman Sfirle over here? Who do they hold like over here? Now this goes back to a machloket we saw yesterday. That's machloket between, again, Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. But this machloket is about a davar gorem the mamon. Is it kemamon dami or lav kemamon dami? An item that can cause or has the possibility to generate a monetary outcome. Does it have a classification as being monetary or is it not monetary? We saw that yesterday with regards to the aid by Sota. Right, the edim by sota, which he can force, or the aid that can force a shvuah, right, the aid that can force a shvuah, or the edim who can cause the woman to maybe drink the mei sota, in that case, there is a possibility that she will lose her ketubah, but there's also a possibility that they will take the shvuah, or she'll drink the mei sota, or that it won't work out that they'll get money. So over there, that's a devar gorim demam. They could possibly cause a monetary outcome, but it's not guaranteed that they will cause an outcome. So that's the same thing over here. If these edim came to testify, there's no guaranteed outcome of money here, because if the Baal Din goes before them and is modeh b'knas, they'll be patur. So there's no guarantee that they can obligate the Baal Din here to be chayav mamon. So that's a devar gorim demamon. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. So they're abundant over there who say a modeh b'knas, and afterwards edim come, and in that case, you are still patur. Who do they hold like in our Gemara? So Rabbanan Dahatan Gman Tzvilu, Ilei Mekirab Elazar Rabbi Shimon, if they hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in our Gemara here, Tehocha, hakamar. He said, davar gorim lamamon kemamon dami. That something that causes monetary outcome is like money. It's good money, good. So that makes him like shvuah da'idut, and there'll be a problem over here. So that'll be that. There's no question. According to the chachamim over there, who say modi beknas, and then edim come, you're patur. But if they hold like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon over here, where it's davar gorim lamamon, which is there's a possibility that it could cause an obligation, that's enough to make it a monetary obligation, and there's a problem shvuah da'idut. Ella, kerabonon dehocha. They all like the Rabbanon over here, which is davar gorim lamamon lav kemamon dami. So now that's our question. So our question now, after we've gone all through this, our question revolves around these two opinions, the joining of these two opinions, the opinion of the Chachamim in the Gemara, in Baba Kama, in Ketubot, that says that if it comes to Modi Beknas, and then Edim show up afterwards, you're still Patur, according to those opinion. And according to the Chachamim in our Gemara, who say davar gorim lamamon is lav kemamon, is not like money. That's our question. Why? Well, this is the question here. Kevon dili modem miftar, lava monaka kafferle. Since if the Baldin would go ahead and admit to the fact that he owes the knas here, then he'd be patur. So therefore, they're not creating a monetary obligation, because there's a possibility there will be no monetary obligation. Odilma, hashta miha lo odi. Until this point, at this point where they're testifying, or where the point where he asked them to come testify, the defendant has yet to admit to the fact that he owes the knas. Well, if he hasn't admitted yet to own the knas, then the edim at that point in time are able to create a monetary obligation, even though there's still a possibility before they get to court that he could still admit it. But as of right now, if we look at it, the current situation, they could extract money. And if we're b'chayv, so Gemara says, that's our question. That's our safek over here by knas. Which side is it? So Gemara says, okay, let's look at Tashma. Let's look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talks about a case of Shvat Eidut. It talks about Chatzi Nezek. Chatzi Nezek, right? It's Kansuhu, right? So that Chatzi Nezek is a Knas, right? It's a fine, because Chatzi Nezek is not the true value of the damage that was created, and therefore it's a Knas. Kamandamar Paganis Kamamonahu. That happens to be a Machlokes, right? In the Gemara in Baba Kama. When it comes to Karen, when you pay a Karen, Tom pays Chatzi Nezek. Why do you pay Chatzi Nezek? So there are two opinions in the Gemara there. One is Palga Nizka Kansa, that it's really a Knas, because Meikra Din, you should be Potur Lagamre. It's a total Shinoi. You shouldn't have expected your animal to go out and gore. It's an unusual case, and therefore you should be Potur Lagamre. The Torah imposes on you Chatzi Nezek in order that you take more care and you look out to make sure that your animal doesn't do this. So that's an imposition by the Torah of Palkanizka Kansel. So that was the Gemara's original assumption. Original assumption is our Mishnah is talking about that, Mandomar, Palkanizka Kansel. And now I have in our Mishnah, Shuat Eidut by Knas. So that should be the answer to our question. Gemara answers up, no, it's Palkanizka Mamona, which is according to the other opinion there in Baba Kama. The other opinion in the Gemara in Baba Kama says, you know what, you're really chayav for the full amount. You should have to pay for all the damage. Ella, chas rachmana alei. The Torah had rachamim on you. The Torah had rachamim because you couldn't have really anticipated this. It wasn't something you should have anticipated. So therefore, the Torah has rachmanos and says only pay half. But eino chanami, you really are obligating the whole amount. If you're obligating the whole amount, that means that you're paying half of what you really owe. So that's palka nizka mamono. So that's the Gemara's answer. Okay, chatzi nezek is palka nizka mamono. You have no proof from our Mishnah. Gemara says, okay, hanicha lamandamar palka nizka mamono. That works well according to the one who says palka nizka mamono. Lamandamar kanso, the one who says that when it comes to chatzi nezek by Karen, it's a knas. Ma'ika lameimar. What are you going to say? Gemara says, b'chatzi nezek tzrorot. Right, this is the answer the Gemara always gives when it needs chatzi nezek mamon. It's chatzi nezek tzrorot, which is a case described in the Gemara in Baba Kama where a shore or an animal is walking along and it kicks rocks. And while it's walking, it kicks rocks, derech halicha, which would really be regel. And even though regel is chayev nezek shalem, there's no chatzi nezek by regel because that's not a shinoi. It's not out of the ordinary. It's a normal course of walking. Nevertheless, the Torah, there's a locha lamoshe misinai. There's a locha that when it comes to tzrorot, if the animal kicks a rock and the rock goes flying, it does damage, which is really kocho, the koach of the animal. In that instance, he's only chayev chatzi nezek. In that instance, he's chayev chatzi nezek. That's a halacha of the Moshe Messina. It's not a knas. It's a halacha in mamon. It's a din of mamon. The hilchasa gemirla de mamonahu. That's a chatzi nezek. It's a halacha of the Moshe Messina. That it's a mamon obligation, not a kansa. But that you only pay half in that instance. So that'll be the case of chatzi nezek here. Okay, so you really solved. Okay, we solved the first problem in our Mishnah. But we know there's another bunch of things in the Mishnah that are also knas, which is tashma. Tashlume kefel. Right, what about Tashlumei Kefil? Tashlumei Kefil is also Knas. It says Mishum Karno. Our Mishum is talking about the Karen, the principal amount. The principal amount is not a Knas. That's Mimono. So that's what they're asking. The Mashmiel Leichem about the Shlume Kefel. Eino Chanami, by the Kefel part, maybe we don't know. But at least the Karen, that's Mimono. The Shlume Dalvehe, again, also 4 and 5 times. Mishum Karno. Our Mishum is mentioning it only because of the Karen. Shanash Ishploni Upitad Biti. Right? So that he either raped or seduced my daughter. So over there, that's a knas. Gemara says, no, mishum boshet upkam. No, there are monetary obligations when it comes to these items. Eino chanami when it comes to the dmei bitulim, right, that he has to give, those are fixed, and they have nothing to do with the parties that are involved. Those are a fixed amount that are paid to the, in this instance, chamishim shekel kestif. But there are other items that you have to pay in this case, which is boshet, the embarrassment caused to the woman that would be in case of rape by seduction. There is maybe no boshet because she's mochel by the fact that she agreed or acquiesced, then she's mochel in the machlal boshet. Upgam. Pagam is, Rashi claims over here, which is interesting, Rashi claims over here that it's that he mentions here, it's funny, he says, v'chem pagam, betula k'tuba tamatayim u'bulamana. That by a b'tula, the ketubah is 200, and for b'ula, it's 100. I mean, a woman who is gets married as a b'tula, she's entitled to a ketubah of 200. A woman who is a b'ula is only entitled to a ketubah of 100. I think what Rashi is implying, pagam means the value deterioration or the value loss in the individual. So Rashi is saying, oh, here, I can measure the loss in this woman from being a bi'ula, from when she was a b'tula to a bi'ula. I'll tell you what the difference is. It's 100 shekel kesef, because that's the difference between the ketubah of a b'tula and a ketubah of a bi'ula. That seems to be what Rashi is saying over here. There are a number of difficulties with Rashi, and the Tosfos Yom Tov raises these questions on Rashi. One is, first of all, ketubah, there's nothing. Ketubah is not something that the father has rights to. It's not something that is paid out in this instance. Ketubah is not at issue when it comes to the case of knas, or when it comes to the case anas, or a case of mefateh. So all these cases, there is no ketubah unless you say afterwards he has to marry her and he has to give her a ketubah, and he's going to give her a ketubah that's worth less. So that tells you how much it is. The other problem is Rashi is saying that it's a fixed amount. Wait, if the differential between a bi'ula and a bitula is a fixed amount, then you're back to knas and not mamon. The Gemara is explicit. The Gemara in Ketubot tells us what pagam is. Pagam is measured, and this is how it's measured any time we deal with degradation of value. We say, how much would this individual be worth in the shuk if they sold them in the state they are now versus the state they were before? So if a person was to buy a shifcha for his eved, and he was to buy a shifcha who was a betula versus buying a shifcha that's a bi'ula, what's the difference in price that he would pay for that? That's the differential. That differential is the pagam. So that's something that's measured. That's a monetary value. That's a value that's assumed here. And will make a difference on who the woman is, what's her stature, you know, all these things will have effect. It shouldn't be a fixed value between the ketubah of a bi'ula versus the ketubah of a bi'tula. I'm pointing out to you, I think that's what Rashi's after over here. It's a difficult Rashi. And the Tosfos Yom Tov points out the difficulties. And he says, the Gemara is explicit that pagam is deterioration of value. And we do it through the normal method of valuing something, which is to assume what they would be sold in the shuk. What's their value in the shuk? Either way, boshet and begam are money, and therefore we have no proof from our mission that we're talking about knas. So Gemara says, all right, so my Kamakashwan, if you just changed all the cases in our Mishnah now to cases of mamon, why do you need to enumerate them? We know that when you take shvat eidut, when there's a monetary obligation, you're chayef. So Kamashvalon, my Kamashvalon, kula mamonu. What are you teaching us? What's this last section of the Mishnah teaching us? So Gemara says, no, the last section of the Mishnah has two chidushim. Reisha Chada Kamashmalan, Sefer Chada Kamashmalan. That third section, the Mishnah, the beginning of it and the end of it teach us a Chiddush. Reisha Chada Kamashmalan, what's the Chiddush of the Reisha? The Chatzin Ezek Tzoror wrote Mimonohu. That it comes to teach us that when it comes to Chatzin Ezek Tzoror wrote, it's classified as Mimonohu. That's the Aloch Lamush Misinai, that's what's teaching us. That's why the Shuat Eidut here, because Chatzin Ezek Tzoror wrote has a din of Mamon. So that's the Chiddush in the first part of that third section. Sefer Chada Kamashmalan, what is the last part of this Sefer? What is the last part of that third section teach us? That if you lit my gadish on fire on Yom HaKippurim, lafuke mai, what does that come to exclude? That's lafuke mi Reb Nechunya ben Akano. Why, what is Reb Nechunya ben Akano? It says the Tanya, Reb Nechunya ben Akano, yosei Yom HaKippurim kishabbat latashlumim. He used to make Yom Kippur equal to Shabbos when it comes to Tashlumim, Mashabbat, and this is Kimlei D'Rabbeinu. Shabbos has a din of Kimlei D'Rabbeinu because a person who violates the Shabbat will be Chayav Mita, therefore he is patur from compensation. If he, in the same act, caused damage or Nezek, he does not have to pay for that Nezek. Now, on Yom Kippurim, there's no Chiyuv Mita, there's a Chiyuv Karet. So that's the question, is Chiyuv Karet like Mita or not? So we say no, but Rabbi Chunia Kana believes that Karet is like Mita, and therefore Chiyuv Karet has a din of Kimlei D'Rabbeinu. So our mission has come to teach you that when it comes to Yom Kippurim, we don't say Kimlei D'Rabbeinu like Rabbi Chunia Ben Akano. So that's the Chiddush of the latter part of the Mishnah. So therefore, because of Chatzi Nezek Tzrorot, therefore we brought down Nezek. Once we brought down Nezek, we brought Tashlumei Kevel and Tashlumei David Chamisha. We brought all those that seem they come in a package all the time. And since we already on the, mentioned these items that involve some sort of Knas as well, so we mentioned Anas and Mifateh, which will also show up in the next Mishnah, which will be relevant. And then what about Hikat Bini or Shechaval Bi Chaveri? In those instances, those are mentions. Hikat Bini is very similar to Yom Kippurim, because there's an instance where there could be a Chiyuv Mita. He's on the verge of getting a Chiyuv Mita. He doesn't get it, but he's on the verge. So it's similar to the case of Yom Kippurim, and also Chavo Bo Chaveiro, which is obviously the same as Hidlikat Gedisho, but Yom Kippurim. Those two items are where does it apply by Karet? Is there an application or is there a reason on Yom Kippur to say Kimlei D'Rabbeinu? And that's what the Gemara says, no. So that's the conclusion. All right. So now the Gemara is at this point assumed that our Mishnah only talks about Mamon. We have not addressed, we cannot answer the question about Knas until this point in time. So now the Gemara tries another option. The Gemara says, if it's talking about Mamon, what's the Chiddush of that last section? The Gemara gave us two Chiddushim, Chatzin Ezek Tzorot is Mamon, and that there's no Kimlei D'Rabbeinu by Yom Kippurim. Now the Gemara tries another one, Tashma. This is a Breita. Mashbioni Aleichem, Yelo Tavoviti Yuduni. If you don't come and testify on my behalf, that what? That Shehotzi Ish Ploni Shemra Al Biti. That this person spoke, he spoke Motzi Shemra about my daughter. He took my daughter, and then he claimed afterwards that when he took the daughter, that she was not a Betula when he married her. And therefore, we find out that he is lying, this individual was lying, and therefore he was Motzi Shemra Al Bat Yisrael. Over there, he's obligated to pay, right, 100 shekel kesef, plus he has to take the woman as his wife, he gets Malkot V'Yisruoto, right, there's all these punishments that are involved with a person who's Motzi Shemra. So he says over here, I want you to come testify that this person spoke Motzi Shemra, right, V'Ish Ploni Shemra Al Biti, Chayavin, and they say, no, we don't have any due to that effect, they are Chayav. Now over there, that's a Knas. By Motzi Shemra, it's a fixed payment for all women, doesn't matter, Motzi Shemra, any woman, it's the same payment. And what do we see over here? That if they took a Shvuah, to the effect that they didn't know Edut when they could come testify about this case of a Knas, we say Chayavin. So here we have a proof. In this Braisa, we have a proof to the fact that when it comes to Knas, you're a Chayav. So it says, afterwards, the Braisa continues, Hodeh bin Piatzmo Patur. Person admits to himself, Modeh bin Knas is Patur. Says, Hodeh bin Piatzmo is Patur. Gemara says, Hamani, who's the author of this Braisa? You're trying to prove from here about what the Dat Chachamim is. Let's look at who the author of the Braisa is. Gemara says, Rabbi Lozer b'Rabbi Shimoni. It's Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah Braisa. Why? The Amar Yavoeidim V'Yidu, because he believes that Modi B'Knas V'Achokach Bo'Eidim are Chayav. So that explained the first section. Why are they Chayav over here when they take Shvat Eidut? Because even if Modi B'Knas is Patur, but if Eidim come afterwards and say, yes, you are Chayav, he will be Chayav and it won't help him that he admitted. So that's why they are Chayav Shvat Eidut here, because even if they had testified, they would have guaranteed that he would have to pay the money. Gemara says, Ema Seifa, you want to say Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon is the author here, then Hode Me'atzmo Patur. Wait, if you admit by yourself, then you're patur. That's Atan Rabbanon. That sounds like the Rabbanon who say Modeh B'Knas is patur. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you're never chayav in Modeh B'Knas patur unless Edim don't show up. But Modeh B'Knas is not normally patur. So when it says, Kula Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon here, that's how we explain it. It's all Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon here. V'achik amar, lo mishkachat la hodeh mipi atzmo de patur, l'heichat alek Edim klal. Hode me'atzmo. That's what it means. Hode me'atzmo means literally, mi pi'atzmo, and there's no one else in the case. When he admits it, then he himself was chayav and obligated. That's modeh b'knas is patur, because there's nobody else in the case. If Edim do show up, he would have been chayav over here, and that's why the Reisha says that he is chayav, they're chayav when they take Shvat Eidut, because if Edim had showed up, he would have been chayav. So by assigning Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon to be the author of this Braita, we again have no proof. So we tried all these items to try to prove that what the position of the Chachamim is when it comes to Shuat Edut the Gabay Knas, and we failed in each of them. Or the Gemara offered alternatives in each of them why it's not talking about Knas. And the final case where it's clear it's talking about Knas, we said it's authored by Rabbi Shimon, and that doesn't answer our question. We know that Rabbi Shimon by Shuat Edut believes Knas is Chayav. What we don't know is what the position of the Chachamim, Alibet the Chachamim, is. And we still leave that it's inconclusive at this point in time because we have no proof to show us either way. All right, now, the Mishnah here is the opposite, basically, of the Mishnah before, of the cases of the Mishnah before, which is, Mashbi'ani Aleichem, Im lo tavo v'ti'idu, I have day Yeshua, that if you don't come and testify, Shani Kohen, that I am a Kohen, Shani Levi, that I'm a Levi, She'eni ben Grusha, She'eni ben Chalutza, that I'm not a Pasul Kohen, right, because I'm a ben Grusha or ben Chalutza, I'm not a Chalal, right, I'm not a Kohen that is a Pasul over here. So I want you to come, until you know testimony about this, I want you to come testify and take a Shua to that effect. Or, Sheish Ploni Kohen, Sheish Ploni Levi, come and testify that so-and-so is a Kohen or so-and-so is a Levi. She'eno ben Grusha, She'eno ben Chalutza, that he is not a Kohen Pasul, right, he's not a Chalam. Oh, She'anash Ish Ploni et Bito, that so-and-so was Anes his daughter, Upitad Bito, or he seduced his daughter. We'll get back to this in a second. This is an unclear case, what this case is about. Vishachaval Bibini, over here, Chaval is not like before in the previous Mishnah, he kait bini, he hit me. Here it's Chaval, which is that he created Chabura. Chaval bini, Vishachaval Bib Chaveri, Vishahidli Gedishi Bishabbat. Or my friend caused me a Chabura on Shabbat, or he lit my possessions, my Gadish, my pile on fire on Shabbat. Arielu Pturim. All of these Edim are Pturim. So the last case, the last two cases are easy because it's on Shabbos. That's Kimlei Derabamine. If the Edim show up, they're not going to be obligated, they're not going to be Mechayev Mamon in this case. So if he's Tovea them to come and testify, they have no testimony for him because there's a Kimlei Derabamine. There's not going to be Mechayev him. Right? The first cases are not monetary matters because they're not talking about Kfirat Mamon. They're not talking about denial of monetary obligations over here. So he said, I'm a Kohen. That's not a denial of a monetary obligation, and therefore you can't obligate them in Shvata Edut in that instance. Also, by the case of when the other cases with Ish Ploni Kohen or Ish Ploni Levi, that is a problem that we're missing the Toveya. We're missing the person who has to ask for the testimony has to be the individual who needs the testimony over here. Here it's a third party who's asking, right, for the testimony on behalf of his friend. That doesn't work. And so the chisaron here is in the toveya. We're missing someone to be the person who needs the testimony is not the one who's asking for it. It's a third party asking for the testimony. And that's the failure in the middle case. So now the question is about this case of Ish Ploni, Anas Ish Ploni et Bito, Upitad Bito. What's that case? What's the problem over here? So the simplest way to read it is exactly the way the Mishnah writes it, which is Ish Ploni et Bito, Upitad Bito, which is that it's a problem of Kimlei Derabamidei. Right here is Anes or Mifate, his own daughter. So in that case, there's a problem of Kimlei Derabamidei. Kimlei Derabamidei, it's connected to the latter half of the Mishnah of Hidlika Deshi B'Shabbat. All those items where there's a Kimlei Derabamidei, there's no monetary obligation because of the more stringent and the more chamor punishment, the death penalty that's offered in this case. So that would be the way to explain it. Rashi says, that's what I heard. I heard that's the way to explain it, but he says, I reject it. I say, can't be. Why? What's the problem over here? So he says, if you look, it's towards the end of the Rashi's in the Mishnah. It says, "V'yesh mefarshim she'anash ish ploni pitad bito ha'av ba'al bito v'taymet v'turim mishum de'ikah chiyuv mita v'af ani ken shemati v'i efshar." That's impossible. L'hamida dafilu below chiyuv mita nami man katova. Rashi says, "Why do we care that there is a chiyuv mita or kimlei derabamine? Where is the obligation, the monetary obligation, when a girl is mifuta or a girl is ne'anas?" Right, and then right, what is the obligation? Where's the money paid to? It's paid to her father. Well, over here, if it's the father who perpetrated the crime, who is the claimant in this case? Rashi says there's no claimant in the case. The father gets all of her money, or any money that she gets, her yad is the yad of the father, and therefore anything she would get, it goes to her father. So over here, where the father is the one who perpetrated the crime, he's the one who's obligated, he's also the recipient. He's both the mechuyav and the recipient. So Rashi says, what type of case is this? There's no monetary obligation. Forget about Kimlei Derabamidei, there's no monetary obligation whatsoever. This can't be the case. So Rashi creates, and Rashi said earlier, he says that's not the case. So but it's a case earlier in the Mishnah Rashi says Shanas Ruvain Bito Shel Shimon, that it's a case where Ruvain says that he was Ma'anes, the daughter of Shimon, Ubito Diktania Ish Ploni de la Elkoi. It's talking about the Ish beforehand. The Tanalel Minash Ish Ploni Kohen O Levi. Venu ben grusha valer kai oshish banchanash ishploni et bito shel oto de iron bead hashta. Where is the one that we were speaking to until this point? So the ish that we're talking about here is a problem because again it's the same as the previous case. It's ishploni, right? Pitat bito, or bito means the bito of the person who's speaking. And over here the problem again is that you're missing the toveya as the wrong person. The toveya is a third party. Since this is the toveya as a third party, he can't create the obligation. So that's the question. This piece that sits between the two parts of the Mishnah, the preceding part of the Mishnah says the problem is that the toveya is a third party, not the person who needs the edut, or is the one who's going to receive the money, or who's going to lose the money if he doesn't get the edut. The latter half of the Mishnah talks about a problem of kimle derabimne. Question is, which of this case of, right, ish, shanas ish ploni bito, but bitat bito, which, what does it belong to? Does it belong to the state before or afterwards? So Rashi says he heard it had to do with the latter half, which is kimle derabimne, but he says, I can't explain that case. So therefore it must be dealing with the case before. So Rashi rereads the words at bito and this to mean like a third, not his own daughter, but someone else's daughter, and therefore he's claiming on behalf of this individual for someone else who is ma'anes this individual's daughter. Right, so that's Rashi has to reread the word in a convoluted manner to get that case. Tosfos quotes Rashi, and he says, wait a minute, Rashi, I don't think you're right. You could not by mifateh, but at least by the case of me'anes, I could come up with a case. I could have a case where a nara got married. I have a nara who got married and then she had erisin, and then she was divorced. She didn't get fully married, but she had erisin, and then she got divorced. So now, and the knas goes to her. Because now she has her own yad, and since she has her own yad, she gets the money. So now we do have a claimant in the case. So in the case of Ne'ara, where she was once engaged, or she had erisin, and then she got divorced, and now she collects her own money, we do have a claimant to the case independent of the father. And then it could be a case of Kimlei Derabimine, because the daughter is the claimant, and the state, I mean the court, or Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the, right, the prosecutor when it comes to the death penalty, and the Toveya is this daughter over here. So now we do have a Toveya for the money. So Tosfos says, I could come up with a case like that. He says, by case of Mifateh, it's a little harder, because since she was seduced and she acquiesced, it's hard to, if she was the personal, if it was her money, then she was Mochel. And if she's Mochel, then there's nothing to, she can't really have a claim afterwards. But he says, at least in the case of Manes, I could come up with that situation that there is a case where the Toveya is not the father, and then I could have that situation where it's speaking about. So that's the question about where that fits into the Mishnah. Right now, the Gemara says, Taimo de ish ploni kohen, de ish ploni levi. So it seems from our Mishnah that the problem is that the person is speaking, saying, this, come and testify for so-and-so that he's a Kohen. Come and testify for so-and-so that he's a Levi. So the problem is that you're asking him to do something that has nothing to do with monetary matters. Ha, manila ploni biyad ploni. But if you came and asked him to testify on behalf of so-and-so that he owes so-and-so money, chayavin, that would work. So we said the failure in the Mishnah is that there's a third party making the claim. But now we see the Gemara is willing to be a medayik out of the Mishnah. It seems to be the Mishnah didn't bring a monetary example. The Mishnah brought an example of Kohen and Levi. Well, if the Mishnah brings an example of Kohen and Levi, it means that that's the only time that a third party can't go and make a claim on behalf of someone else. But in a monetary matter, he could make the claim on behalf of someone else, and that would be good enough to obligate Shvat Eidut. So the Gemara says, wait, how could that be? Haktani Seifa, we're going to come to another Mishnah that tells us, Achish Mubi Pia Toveya. The claimant has to be the one who asked the Edim to come testify on his behalf. And over here, that's not who's making the request. The request is coming from a third party. It says, Shmuel Bibarba Hasha'a. The individual, this third party, is coming with a power of attorney over here. He's coming with a power of attorney. That's what's allowing him to come and make the claim over here. Not if he didn't have this Bahar Shah. If he didn't have this Har Shah, he couldn't make it. But once he gets the Har Shah, since there's a monetary obligation, the monetary obligation could be passed through the Har Shah, through the power of attorney. He can now make the individual who is speaking the claimant, because he can assign him the collection rights to the money. Since he assigned him the collection rights to the money, he now becomes the Toveya. If he's the Toveya, he can make the claim and for the Edim, and that way there'll be a Shvat Eidut over here. Now, even though we know that Har Shah, power of attorney, works through shlichut, and we know in the upcoming Mishnah we mentioned before that shlichut does not work when you're a toveya, Tosfot over here points out that a harshah is a little better than shlichut, because even though it functions through shlichut, it's better or more empowered here because he has the koach lotzi mamon. He has the ability to extract money in this case, like the owners themselves. And that's what we're after here. When it comes to Shvat Eidut, we want a Toveya, someone who can actually extract the money to be the party that makes the claim. But a plain Shliach, that's not the case. over here where he has the ability to make the claim and extract the money, that's enough or empowers him enough to create a case of Shvet Eidut over here. So the Gemara says, We have in Nardai tell us that we don't write Urkata. Urkata is synonymous with Harsha'a. We don't write a power of attorney when it comes to Metaltalin. Why? Because what are we afraid of? By Metaltalin, the Edim are signing on a document that says, this is what the document says. The document says, so-and-so stole money from me. Or, so-and-so borrowed this item and he hasn't repaid me. And then the Edim sign. Now, when they're signing on the document, all they're signing about is the fact that they're giving a power of attorney over here. But contained within that document is also a statement about the facts of the case. Well, since there's a statement about the facts of the case as well, when the Edim sign on it, it looks like they're signing b'sheker. It looks like they're affirming something that they don't know anything about. They don't know whether he really owes the money, doesn't owe the money. They're just signing to the power of attorney. But because in that document also includes a statement of fact about the case, it looks like they're signing b'sheker. So then the Dai says, we don't sign on metaltele because metaltele move around and the Edim are not witnesses. They don't see the object. They can't tell you where it is or who it belongs to. So Mar says, no, that's only if the other party denies the obligation. If he denies the obligation, then it's mechse kishikra. Then it looks like it's lying when they sign it. But aval lo kafre, if he does not deny it, then katvina, we write it. Because over there, it doesn't look like, it's not a problem that they're really testifying. It's mechse kishikra. It looks like sheker. So since it looks like sheker, only when there's an outright denial do we say it's mechse kishikra. If there's no outright denial, then we will write it in this case. Now, the harsha, the power of attorney, only works by the case of the monetary obligation. Because I can assign or I can give over monetary obligations to someone else through the harsha'a, through that power of attorney. It does not work by each plani kohen and each plani levi. Why? Because I cannot assign, I cannot give over something that I never had possession of. I can't give over something that was never, I never had entitlement to, something that I never had my had in my possession. So that's what Rashi says, Rashi in the Mishnah, the Peturim. Says, Be'ina d'shishmu pia toveya. They have to hear directly from the toveya. Ve'itzrik l'mitnei mishum d'mukmila b'bar b'arsha. Our Gemara is going to say this is a case where he comes with the power of attorney. Va'afilu achi enu baldino. He's still not the baldin in the case. Kishar mamon. When it's monetary matters, he becomes the baldin in the case. Why? D'mide lo matali yode me'olam lo matzi d'michta v'arsha eloi. Something that will never come into your possession, you cannot write a harsha about. You can write a harsha about monetary obligations, rights to collection, rights to money, because that will come into your possession. That you can write a harsha about. You can write a power of attorney about. You can't write a power of attorney about something that's never going to come into your possession. Ploni Kohen, Ploni Levi, has no bearing on this other individual. It'll never come into his possession. It's a statement of state or status, not a obligation or a right. And therefore, you can't write a harsha about that. So even though he comes with the harsha power of attorney, right, so I was thinking about that. It's interesting. By Matnot Kuhuna, what you do, Echlal is still entitled to Truma and to into Maisrot. So you could say either Bizmana Zeh, or you could say that it's a, you could suggest over here that it's only a Dover Gorim Lamamon over here. Maybe it's not directly a Mamon case, if it's only a Dover Gorim Lamamon. I think that was it too. Right. So in those cases, again, they might be Gorim the Mamon, because who knows, there will be a Yerusha. Who says there will be a Yerusha? Who says he'll be entitled to anything? Meaning that you have to... Right, so Bechor maybe, Bechotel Pishtayim. Those are interesting questions about where the, in those cases where maybe there is a direct Mamon issue. Maybe over there, there would be an impact. Maybe there would be Shvet Eidut if you can make a monetary impact about a statement like that. Right, by Kohen and Levi, it's a little more circumspect. I mean, it's one step removed. First, we establish they're Kohen and Levi, and then they have to go get the Matnot Kuhuna. It's not guaranteed. Just because you're Kohen and Levi doesn't guarantee that you get Matnot Kuhuna or Matnot Levi. Right? Someone has to give them to you. You have to be granted them as well. He can't sell his right. He doesn't have a right to his Maestrot. Maestrot are given to him. What he could do is in his own property. I mean, his own Maestrot he could eat, or the Kohen could eat his own Shumot. Maybe there you could create a monetary situation. But I don't know. That's a good question with regards to Truma. I was thinking about it. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you with regards to Trumota and Masrot. And the Gemara now, the rest of the Gemara, for the rest of the daf today is going to be answering this question that the Gemara is about to ask, which is, how do we know, Minayin she'ena katub medaber el b'tviat mamon? How do we know that the pasuk here is talking about a case of tviat mamon? How do we know that when it comes to Shvuat Eidut, there is some sort of monetary claim in this instance? So Rabbi Lezer omer, nemarkan owin. This is a very interesting word here. Owin is the plural of O. It's multiple times the word O. So in the psukim, if you look in the psukim by Shvat Eidut, it uses the term O many times. and also by pikadon, it also uses the word owe many times. So by Shvat Eidut, it says, by the case, o ra'ah, o yada, right? And by Shvat Pikadon, it says, o b'tshumet yad, o b'gazel, o ashakit, right? O shegasher ashak, or ashak. So all of these cases have o in them, these multiple o's. So here, Nemarkan Oin, by Shvat Eidut it says O multiple times, and Nemar Lahalan, and by Shvat Pikadon it says O multiple times. Malahalan Enu Medaber B'Tviat Mamon. Just like over there by Pikadon, obviously you're talking about a monetary claim. Afkan Enu Medaber B'Tviat Mamon. Also over here, you're talking about a monetary claim. Now, Oin De Rotseach Yochichu. Wait, we have the word O that appears by Rotseach a number of times. O Be'Vai Kao Shlachala B'Tzdiya. Right, we have the word O play multiple times by Rotseach. Over there, Rotseach has nothing to do with a monetary claim. It's all about Isur. And what we see maybe over there, compare it to Rotseach, and all of a sudden you have Shuat Eidut by Isur. So Gemara says, Oin De Rotseach Yochichu Shein Oin Umid Brim Shlo B'Tviat Mamon. Gemara says, Danin Oin Sheishimem Shua, Mi Oin Sheishimem Shua. Talking about an O that in a context of a case that's talking about a Shvua. That's Shvat HaPikadon, that's Shvat HaEidut. So that will learn from each other. Vayochi Oin de Rotzeach, Shein Emeim Shvua. The Oin by Rotzeach have nothing to do with the Shvua. They're not comparable cases. Gemara says, oh, you want a comparable cases of Oin. Oin de Sota Yochicho. We can have the Oin by Sota. It uses the term multiple times. Or Var Alav Ruach Kinao U Isha Shir Tarvor Alav. Mean O by Sota. And over there we have what? We have a case of Shvuas also. So Oin de Sota Yochicho, Shein Oin. They also have Shua. Over there, we're not talking about a case of Tviat Mamon. Now you have to. This Tosfos was raised in the Gemara and Sota a number of times. Tosfos here mentions it as well. Well, there is a monetary matter. By Sota, the monetary matter is the Ktubah. Right? So what do you mean there's no monetary matter? So you look at the last Tosfos on the page. Tosfos says in many places, Ikard lo atilaf sida ktubatel hashkota. That Sota is classified as Isur because the Ikar, the focus here, is to make her Asur Labala, right? Not to have her lose her Ktubah over here. That's not the Ktubah is a Pol Yotze. It's a side effect of the fact that now she's Asur Labala because of her actions, but that's not the main thrust of the case, is not to get rid of the Ktubah. So therefore, we're talking about Isur. So you say there, it's not Tviat Mamon, and we have a bunch of O in there, and a Shavuah. So why don't we learn from there? So, because by Sota we have Yochiko Shein Oin Veishemem Shua Midabrim Shlob Tviat Mamon. It's Gemara says, Doin Oin Sheishemem Shua Veini Mahen Kohen. Over there, the Shua is generated by the Kohen. Oin Sheishemem Shua Veini Mahen Kohen. So here, by Shvat HaPikadon, by the case of Shvat HaEidut, there's no Kohen involved, but there's a Shua and there's Tviat Mamon. By Sota, you have a Kohen involved, so that's not a similar case, or we can't learn from that case. Logan from, we can't learn from Sota. Right, so Rotzeach doesn't have Shua, Sota has Kohen, so for that reason they're different than Shvat HaEidut and Shvat HaPikadon. That's the limud of Rabbi Eliezer. That's how he knows that Shvat HaEidut is talking about Tviat Mamon. Next, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, Vaya ki asham lechat me'ele. That's how the parsha begins, right? Yesh me'ele shu chayav, yesh me'ele shu patur. Sometimes a shvat eidut you're chayav, sometimes you are patur. Ha keitzad, what's the gate? Tavo mamon chayav. If he makes a claim for money, then he's chayav. Right? Of the davar cher, if it's not for a monetary claim, patur. The Gemara is going to ask, the Gemara is going to dissect all his opinions. Why don't you just say the other way around? How is Rabbi Kiva so sure that we're talking about that Tviat Mamon is the one that is and Isser is not? Why don't we flip it around? Rabbi Yosef Lei Omer, how are you Omer? It says, "V'hu aid o ra'a o yada, beidut hamit kayemet b'riya below yudia ubdiya below riya." An eidut that has value for just the seeing, even though you don't know what's going on, or you know what's going on, even though you never saw it. Hakatub medaber. That's what the pasuk is talking about. Well, where can you have a case where you see something and you're valuable, or where can you have a case where you know something and you're valuable without the other? You don't have to see and know in order to be valuable here. Well, riya below yudia. What's that case? I counted out a maneh in front of you. Bifnei ploni uploni. Yavo ploni ploni b'yidu. They'll come and testify. Zohi riyah below yidiyah. Right? That's a riyah without a yidiyah. They don't know what happened in the transaction. All they saw was that there was money being counted from one party to the other. They don't have any other information about what transpired between the two parties. So that's what? That's riyah below yidiyah. So now, what's when they know something without seeing it? So that this person admitted to me in front of you that he owes me the money. That's knowing without seeing. Why? They never saw the transaction. They never saw the transaction take place. All they know is that he admitted to the fact that there was such a transaction. So again, Ri'ya is seeing the transaction. Yediyah is knowing what the transaction's about. So here, by Edim, we have a case of Edim where they see the transactions, but they have no idea what the transaction's about, but it's valuable to him to have the Edim because the other party says, well, if you can prove to me that you handed me the money, I'll pay you. So then he has these Edim. Or the other case of Yediyah with that Ri'yah is when they know that he admitted to the obligation, even though they never saw the transaction. So that only can be true by the cases of monetary matters. When it comes to Isur, that's not the case. Isur, you need both the Ri'yah and the Yediyah in order to be Edim in those instances. All right, now, the Gemara says, okay, another opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chayav Kan V'Chayav B'Pikadon. Right, there are chayev kan v'chayev pikadon. By shvat eidut you chayav, and by pikadon you chayav. Mala halani medaber b'tfiat mamon. Avkan einu medaber b'tfiat mamon. Just like b'shvat pikadon, it's talking about mamon. So over here, it's talking about mamon. Ve'od kavachomer, and I can show it's a kavachomer. Ma pikadon. When it comes to shvat pikadon, shasabo nashim ke anashim. Men and women are equal. Krovim ke rechokim. Right, relatives and non-relatives are equal. Psulim ke ksherim. Those are pasul eidut and kashur eidut. All of them are the same. V'chayav alko achat v'achat. Bifne beitin v'shelo bifne beitin. Each time you take a shvat pikadon, you're chayav on every instance, whether you do it in beitin or outside of beitin. Enu medaber b'tviat mamon. There, it's limited to tviat mamon by shvat pikadon, even though it has all of these expansive items where you can be chayav. Edut by edut, which is much more right restricted, which is shelo asav anashim kanashim. Women are not like men in this case. Krovim kerochukim. Relatives cannot be like non-relatives. Psulim are not good. You can't take shvat edut. Kshem can. Venu chayav el achat, and bifnei beitin, right? And if you come to beitin, you only chayav once. You can't be chayav multiple times. Enu din shloim medaber al b'tviat mamon. Should also be limited to tviat mamon, certainly. Mar says, wait a minute. You're suggesting that pikadon is the kula, and shvat eidut is the chumra. Well, they're chumrot by pikadon also. Mala pikadon shken lo asabo mushba kenishba. Right, by pikadon, we don't make the person, you can't have a third party take the shua on your behalf, you know, or impose the shua on you, which is not true. By shvat eidut, you can have be mashbi'a pi achirim. Umezid kishogeg. By shvat eidut, doesn't matter if you're shogeg or mezid, right? It's equal over there. Tomar beidud, shekein asabo mushba kenishba, umezid kishogeg. Shvat eidut has da mushba kenishba, and the chumra of mezid is like shogeg. So you can't have a kal v'chomer when the shvat eidut also has kulo, not apparent by shvat pikadon. So now you don't have. You have each one has its own tzad, and therefore you have no kal v'chomer here. So it's tamalomer techata the gzera shavo. We have a gzera shavo between shvat pikadon, right, to shvat eidut, which is the pasuk uses, or the term is used in both instances, which gives us the gzera shavo between them, which we've mentioned before. Nefesh ki techata v'shama kolala. Right, so that's techeta, and the term techeta is also used by shvata pikadon. So now the Gemara says shavet nemarkan techeta, and nemar lahanan techeta. Malahanan enu medaber b'tviat mamon. Just talk about pikadon; it's tviat mamon. Afkan enu medaber b'tviat mamon. So matkif lo rabba barula. Oh, bitu yochichu. Wait a minute. Do you want to learn out from why don't you use shvata bitui? Right, shein oin has multiple o's. V'yeshimen en shvua, it has the qualities of shvua. V'enima en kohen, it doesn't have a kohen there. That's shvua tabidui. Umidabrim shelo b'tviat mamon. And shvua tabidui can be on anything. It doesn't have to only be on monetary matters, it can be on anything. Why are you learning out shvua tabigadon? Why don't you learn out from shvua tabidui? It says, mistavrim pikadon avalei the melef, shekein techeta mi techeta. Because you have the gzer shov of techeta techeta. It says, adarabba mi bitui avalei the melef. We should learn out from Bitu, Shekein, Chatat, Chatat. What's the Chiyuv for someone who violates Shvat Bitoi? Korban Olevi Yoreid. What's the Chiyuv for someone who violates Shvat Eidut? Korban Olevi Yoreid. What's the Chiyuv for someone who violates Shvat HaPikidon? Asham. So Bitoi and Shvat Eidut have something in common. Their Korban is a Chatat. Whereas the Korban for violating Shvat HaPikidon is an Asham. Ela Mistavra Mi Pikadon. How about the Melef? No, it makes more sense than Pikadon because of this. Shekein, Chait, right? Mezid. Tavei v'chafrei v'avrei. So these are three things. Chet is that techeta techeta. We have the common, right? We have the gzera shava. Mezid. They're both chayav when it comes to a case of mezid by shvat ha-pikadon and by the case of shvat ha-idut. Right now, tavei v'chafrei, they both require a claim and a response to that claim. V'avrei, and they're also both talking about the past tense. They're focused on what happened already, something that's already taken place, and the shvua is about something that already transpired. So those four things are common between Shvata Pikadon and Shvuata Edut. So those are the four things that are common between them. So Gemara says, Adarabah, Mibitui, Avalei Melech. If I can learn Mibitui, they have common. Shekain, Chatat. They both share the common. They both bring a Korban Chatat, Bitui and Edut. As opposed to Pikadon, which brings a Asham. Shiar Da, right? That they have a Korban Ole V'yored. Right? Ole V'yored over here, as opposed to a Korban Asham, where we're talking about an Asham versus an Ole V'yored. Number three is a Chomesh. They, by the case of Shvuata Pikadon, you pay an extra chomesh on top of the monetary obligation, which is not true by Shvuata Edut, Shvuata Bitui. Where it says, Anach Tefishan, the one to Pikadon, you have four against three. Four against three, that wins. So therefore, we compare it to Shvuata Pikadon, and we don't compare it to Shvuata Bitui. Tosos over here asks, Rashi says, wait, you can have Shvuata Bitui in the past tense also. Shvuata Bitui can be in the future and in the past tense. Rashi says, well, you know what? The major part of Shvuata Bitui is in the future, because the puzzle says, La'ra Ulehetiv. It's only through a reboy that we learn in the past tense. Tosfos wants to say that there were girsot that didn't have the word avrei. They left it out completely. And if that's the case, then you have to separate out tavei and kafrei and make them into two items. The tavei and kafrei are two items in order to get four. Otherwise, you would only have three, and then it would be three against three. So in order to have four, you have to have tavei and kafrei be two separate items, and then you have four against three in this instance. All right, so we'll stop over here.